Newsbreak. Charles Osgood, CBS News. All right, everybody, all together now. What day is it?
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday here.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Why? Why Super Tuesday? Why not Big Tuesday or Terrific Tuesday or Terrible Tuesday? Who says it's Super Tuesday? Aside from everybody, I mean. Stay tuned.
Economists have a hard enough time predicting the future, but lately they have even found it difficult to explain the recent past. Today's Wall Street Journal looks at how government statistics are sending out contradictory signals. Get the story in today's journal. Then learn about the medical debate over plastic surgery ads and the emotional upheaval that resulted in the takeover of Superior Oil. It's a front-page story you won't want to miss. Today's journal also reports on Bank of America. Some say it failed in its role as a trustee in a bond default. Today's Heard on the Street column will fill you in on Gulfstream Aerospace. It's booking strong advance orders for a fancy executive plane. And if keeping on top of trends is your business, don't miss the regional news column on page one of the journal's second section. Today's regional news could be tomorrow's national headline, affecting your business, your family, and your future. Read today's Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Pick up your copy at our newsstand today. Or to subscribe in the continental U.S., call 800-345-8500. That's 800-345-8500. For the Wall Street Journal.
Last week it was Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. This week it's Super Tuesday.
Somebody, I don't know who, someplace I don't know where, sometime I don't know when, took a look at the fact that 10 states scheduled primaries or caucuses for this day, with more than 500 delegates to the Democratic National Convention at stake, and said that sure is going to be some Super Tuesday, isn't it, or words to that effect. And thereafter, nobody questioned even for a minute what this day would be called. Any more than anybody questioned what you'd call it when the Earl of Sandwich revolutionized the food business by putting a piece of meat between two pieces of bread. Obviously, that was going to be a sandwich, just as obviously the 13th of March was going to be Super Tuesday. At the time of the Super Bowl in January, they had a piece on the air about how the name Super Bowl was thought up. Seems obvious now, but it wasn't at all obvious then. Some people wanted to call it the Big Game or the Finals. It was not, after all, a bowl game, but Super Bowl had a certain ring to it, Pete Rozelle thought, and so Super Bowl it became. But who is the unsung, unknown individual who decided that this would be Super Tuesday? Back when that label was hung on this day, nobody really knew how super it would turn out. Conventional wisdom was that Walter Mondale had locked up the presidential nomination in 1983 when he won the endorsement of teachers and union leaders and straw votes in Massachusetts and Maine and Iowa. Got about $10 million in campaign funds. Somewhere in there, the so-called experts who figured John Glenn was the only real competition Mondale had began to say Glenn simply couldn't overcome this tremendous advantage Mondale had piled up. So to all intents and purposes, it was over. Well, nobody at the time noticed how super dumb this analysis was, and so the phrase super dumb never caught on. So far, even now, Mondale is ahead in delegates committed. But all the voting that has gone on until today confer a total of 102 delegates altogether. That is only 3% of the 3,933 delegates who will be at the convention. In other words, today is five times more important in terms of delegates than the Iowa precinct caucuses and the New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont primaries and the Wyoming caucuses all put together.
Is it a marvelous Monday or a wonderful Wednesday? No, it's Super Tuesday.
So, whoever and wherever you are, may this prove to be, for you, a fine Tuesday. Indeed, an excellent, marvelous Tuesday. A superb, grand, and glorious Tuesday. In fact, a magnificent, extraordinary, fantastic Tuesday. A tremendously terrific Tuesday.
It's no wonder they call this Super Tuesday.
And now, this message.
If you've got a boss who needs copies all day long, cause he's gotta meet a deadline, you need a Mita, full-service copier. Mita copiers are so reliable.
Gotta meet a schedule.
And so economical.
Gotta meet a budget.
With reduction, enlargement, feeding, sorting, and picture-perfect copies at a very low price. Not to mention that great service from your own personal Mita man.
Gotta meet a...
Yeah?
Gotta meet a...
Yeah?
Oh, gotta meet a man.
Mita!
Full-service copiers.
Call toll-free 1-800-222-0878.
Newsbreak, Tuesday, the 13th of March, 1984. You know, Super Tuesday. I'm Charles Osgood, CBS News.
Senator Hart had won Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Florida, and he was doing well in the Western caucuses.
On to Illinois, on to New York, on to San Francisco, and on to the White House!
Vice President Mondale had won Alabama, Georgia, the Democrats overseas, and he was getting some more in Samoa.
It's going to be a marathon all the way to California.
George McGovern had finished third in his litmus test state of Massachusetts, and it was over.
I said 2 weeks ago here in Boston that if I did not place first or second, that I would withdraw, and that is what I intend to do.
The outlines of Super Tuesday, Hart getting more raw votes and a few more delegates than did Mondale. Jacqueline Adams covers the Hart campaign.
Hart campaigns today in Michigan, whose Democrats caucus on Saturday, and in Illinois, where there's a primary next Tuesday. Last night, though, Hart told his cheering supporters that his victories prove his message is working.
The voters of Massachusetts, of Florida and Rhode Island, indeed of Georgia, of Alabama, I hope of some Western caucus states, have joined the ranks of those in New England and in Wyoming who have said that the politics of the past will not address the challenges of the 1980s.
Both Hart and Walter Mondale are saying they now want their campaigns to focus on issues. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Washington.
Susan Spencer is following the fortunes of Walter Mondale.
Strains of Sweet Georgia Brown showing Mondale's appreciation for the two primaries he won, Georgia and Alabama. He came into the ballroom reception last night with boxing gloves and told a packed room of supporters that his two victories keep the debate with Gary Hart going, and he says keep his campaign fight alive.
There are 40 contests yet to come, and we'll be in every one of them.
Mondale will lose no time. He leaves for Illinois first thing this morning, and his aides insist that their polls show him ahead there, Gary Hart's momentum or not. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
As we've heard, Massachusetts was the end of the line for McGovern's presidential hopes this year.
This is Jackie Judd in Boston. George McGovern had arranged to fly to Chicago today and begin campaigning there. That's how confident he was of a victory in Massachusetts. But it didn't materialize, and last night McGovern ended his presidential campaign. He broke the news to disappointed supporters.
This is not a concession of defeat. What campaign could ever claim a greater lasting victory than to emerge with the titles of conscience and statesman and peacemaker?
McGovern's strongest support in Massachusetts came from younger voters, 18 to 44 years old, some of the same people who helped deliver this state in the 1972 presidential election. And he said, if those people are still with me after all of these years, that would mean more to me than anything else. Jackie Judd, CBS News, Boston.
After all the tumult last night, the delegate vote was close. Hart won 171, Mondale 161. That gives Mondale an overall lead of 355 delegates to Hart's 223. It takes 1,967 to win the nomination. American Samoa has gone to Mondale. Two-thirds of Hawaii's delegates will be uncommitted. Washington State still is counting its caucuses. Nevada leans to Hart, and so does Oklahoma. Perhaps it was a veteran politician who put the lid on Super Tuesday, speaking in New York City last night. Richard Nixon said that the odds, he thinks, are on Hart.
I think he has to be a favorite at the moment, because it helps to have momentum. It helps to have the media with you. I should know. I never had him with me.
Voters in Atlantic City, New Jersey, yesterday voted to recall the mayor, Michael Matthews, and put a black educator in his place. Matthews, the target of a federal probe, says he'll go down fighting.
The election is illegal, it's invalid, and if the courts want to uphold an invalid election, then we've got a sick state.
Matthews had been in office for 20 months.